Live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 6:34. You're listening to 100.5 FM. We may play some more of this later on, but we have guests here, including Dr. Michael Champy. But I do want to say this. If you watched it last night, you kept hearing her refer to the Republicans who were standing with her. Do you realize, and does it even matter to you, that all of those Republicans she's talking about have been part of the establishment for years? She refers to John Bolton. John Bolton has worked very hard because he is rewarded by the military-industrial complex to get us into wars. He's a warmonger. And look, it is indisputable. You can say whatever you want to say about Donald Trump, but during his 4 years, Putin did not invade, nor did he annex any land of Ukraine. We did not send $200 billion to Ukraine in support to fight against the Russians. Israel was not at war. Israel was seeking peace. And Donald Trump presented the Abraham Accords, which was allowing, under the agreements, nations that had long sought their destruction to recognize them as a sovereign nation with an inherent right to exist. And it was normalizing relations so they could transact commerce, fly over each other's airspace, and so on. Those things are not happening now. Right now, the world is in chaos. She can say whatever she wants to say because that's what she's done all of her life to get what she wants. The question is, are you dumb enough, like Willie Brown was, to fall for her crap? Dr. Michael Champy's here.
Yeah. Good morning. It's good to be here. It is... Again, it's just amazing how, you know, the stuff that she's saying, it's kind of like the book, you know, don't pee in my leg and tell me it's raining.
Right.
I mean, should we believe her or our lying eyes? Should we believe our own bank account? Should we look at our tax bills? Should we look at the crime in the city? Should we look at the fentanyl needles all over the city? Or is it, oh, no, everything's fine. Kamala says everything's fine, so I guess we're good. It's amazing. And again, you guys have talked about this. I have a hard time believing the polls that the swing states are, and I think they're starting to show now. But how is North Carolina even in play at this point after?
Well, I can tell you how the one of the biggest red areas in North Carolina has been destroyed by natural disaster. And if those people aren't facilitated to vote as they would be if they were blue people instead of red people. Roy Cooper would be doing everything he could to get them to vote. We're not hearing anything about his actions to do that now. That could swing North Carolina. It's a concern, but he's going to win Michigan, so it balances.
Right. But, I mean, after Kamala's saying, okay, we'll give you a $750 gift taxable loan, as opposed to Donald Trump showing up with
millions of dollars.
Yeah, millions of dollars and supplies and truckloads of that. I mean...
And they're blaming Trump because of the 750. She went to Georgia, and she's the one that said it. Again, one of the dumbest damn things I have ever heard in my life. Instead of saying, I'm your vice president, I want you to know we are here with the resources of the federal government, and we will not leave until everything is made whole again.
Right.
We got $750 for you that you got to pay back if you qualify.
Right.
I mean... Man, what is the matter? Our government is the adversary of the American citizen. Well, if you're in Ukraine or if you're in Iran, I mean, he asked her later on about unfreezing billions of dollars. She tried to blame Donald Trump. She said Donald Trump got out of the JCPOA, which was nothing more than an agreement by seven nations. We were one. That said, Iran can't go nuclear. But even Obama, who signed the damn thing, said this was only a delay. Iran would still be nuclear on it. It had nothing to do with what the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas has done. Nothing to do. But that was her deflection. Either she's an idiot who has no business walking upright, or she's one of the biggest liars in the history of the world. Joe Biden, of course, being the biggest.
Right. And a couple thoughts. I mean... FEMA, in their, you know, again, these clowns at FEMA, they're only working 9 to 5. They're not, you know, putting in any overtime to help people, and they're handing out electric chainsaws, but people don't have power.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to charge a stupid game size?
More importantly, they're blaming Donald Trump because they're saying that people, it's making it harder to get them. No, it's not. People who are desperate don't hear this crap. They don't have power to hear this crap. Alejandro Mayorkas, the most incapable human to ever serve in a cabinet post, the border person in this country, is the one that said they don't have the resources to help out. But these morons, they are, I mean, I swear to God, I cannot believe we've let our country get into this mess with these idiots. They are idiots. They are brain dead amoebas. They are so awful. Donald Trump did not cause this. Donald Trump is not the one that said we were out of money. Donald Trump didn't do that. And then they lied about it. And then the SBA business loan came out and said, well, we are out of money. The government said it again. But all they do is blame Trump. You know what? We didn't have 11 million people coming across the border under Donald Trump. We weren't funding $200 billion to Ukraine to fight Russia under Donald Trump because he said, Vlad, if you do this, you will not like the circumstances you will face. Biden said, well, you know, it depends on what kind of incursion he does. That's my Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris voice. I decided to do the trio of stupidity.
Yeah. Well, you know, if maybe North Carolina just needs to have a referendum and change the state's name to Ukraine, then they get all kinds of money.
Exactly. That's what they ought to do.
I have a question. They started in-person voting today. How is that going to work?
Well, they don't have electricity, so how do they run the machines? They don't have the resources to get to the people. There are still people that our government, which is funding Ukraine and everybody else and giving billions of dollars to illegals, haven't even encountered in North Carolina.
Right, right. And you know what you don't need electricity for? Hand counting ballots.
No, you don't. So guess what? The judge in Georgia says, no, you're not going to do this. The election board passed a thing that said, after we put them through the machine, we're going to hand count them to see if the two totals match up. And a judge yesterday blocked it. Hmm. Why would a judge do that? What purpose would a judge have in getting involved in that? If they want to hand count the damn ballots, hand count the damn ballots.
Right. And
why would a judge get involved in that? Why would he interfere in the outcome of an election?
Gee, I don't know.
Bobby, what's going on?
I've got Ray Richardson weather down here.
What does that mean?
I woke up to 56 degrees. I'm in a flannel shirt. I'm drinking coffee by the fire. It feels surreal.
Man, I bet. My goodness, 56 degrees. We had frost on the pumpkin here today.
I heard that, and I saw some snow going on up there.
Up at Sugarloaf, it was snowing, yeah? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Winter is coming to breakfast, man. Winter is coming to breakfast.
In a couple of weeks. I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, you will. That's right. He's coming up here. Oh, are you going to come in
here
on Wednesday?
After the election, I want you when you're calm and relaxed.
I am calm and relaxed. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, we all love to see that someday, Bob.
I am calm and relaxed. Right. What are you talking about? I'm very relaxed right now.
No, I can tell.
I just can't stand people who stand in front of me and the whole country and lie to us and tell us, as Doc rightfully said, that it's raining when they're urinating down my back. I can't stand it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have compared this administration to the Carter administration and me amongst others. But I have to say, part of the problem that I don't know, I'm going to say made Carter a bad president. I will say it as the sense that made him an unpopular president, was that he had a lot of things that didn't go right. And sometimes they were bad decisions. And taking the international faux pas with, you know, Saudi Arabia and everything else, and particularly Iran, out of the mix, and the way that he handled the hostages and everything else. The one thing that he did do was when he made a mistake, much like Kennedy with the Bay of Pigs, he owned up. When they had that disastrous rescue attempt out of Iran to try to get the hostages out, and they got caught in a very, very poorly timed sandstorm, and we lost a lot of good soldiers that time, and of course Iran, you know, dragged them through the streets and did all sorts of horrible things. That was about as big a blemish as there was on his presidency. But he got up there and he admitted what happened and he told everyone how it went down. And it pretty much was, I think, in a lot of ways, the nail in the coffin for his legacy in terms of, you know, foreign policy and some of those things. But he did it. You know, he got up there. Right. He told the truth. He stood up and he, you know, the buck stopped here, as it was famously said. And he took the heat on it, you know. And, you know, right, wrong, and different, he tried to do the right thing. It went badly, but he didn't blame anybody else. He didn't do anything else. He just got up there and was the president. As bad as it was presidential.
Bobby, there's a one-word difference between Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and James Earl Carter. And that word is decency. James Carter is a good man. A very, very, very good man who happened not to be a good president. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't understand the word decency, have never used it in a sentence where it made any sense. They can't spell it. They can't smell it. They don't know what decency is.
Right. And to further your point, Bob, Jimmy Carter was a veteran and he was a smart man. I think he was naive and he was out of his league as president, but I agree. I think he was a patriot, and again, not a good president. He was a much better ex-president than he was a president.
Most likely, the best ex-president ever.
Right, if anything, you know, he's probably going to go to his grave knowing that there was a presidency that ended worse than his. And I don't know. I don't think that's any consolation to him, but. It's a huge difference. I think you're right. There are a lot of parallels. The inflation, the U.S. shrinking from the world stage.
Rising interest rates.
Rising interest rates. The misery index that was coined when Carter was president. But again, Carter was naive. I don't think he was intentionally deceitful. He wasn't. I don't think he was personally profiting from his office like the Bidens have and Harris I agree. I think Carter was
everything you just said can be summed up. The difference between the two, the Harris and Biden and James Earl Carter, is the word decency.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter is a good man who happened not to be a good president. These two people are not good people. They have lied, they have bilked, they have cheated, they have done whatever they can, and for some reason they're acted like, I've had people come to me personally and say to my face, Harris will restore decency. And I'm like, well, what does that mean?
She doesn't know what it is.
And they say, well, you know, Donald Trump has done this. I'm like, yo, baby girl, wake up. She did all that stuff herself. So is it okay because she's a woman that she was a cheater and a liar? Is that what it is? Is that she's a woman, or is it because she's a Democrat or a card-carrying communist? What is it that makes it okay that she cheated, she tried to break up a family, she lied, she's done all kinds of bad stuff? Is it okay because she's a communist? Is that why it's okay?
Right. And she's enabling someone who is credibly charged with domestic abuse and hitting a woman. Is that okay?
Knocked up the nanny?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. You know, if you want to have a morality test, at least take the test with everybody involved in the process.
Right. For example, why is Howard Stern an icon and respected nowadays? I mean, the stuff he used to do, having lesbians spank each other on air, and
he had a woman come in and sit on one of the bass speakers and have an orgasm on the air from the gyration of the bass speaker in his studio.
Right. How is he now some icon that everyone looks up to? How has he not been run out of town and be put on the trash heap?
Because he's part of the communist left here in this country. He's made millions and he's gotten his, like she has and Biden has and all the others. They just don't want anybody else to be successful so they can control them. This is all about control. There's no decency here. The difference between Donald Trump and Joe and Kamala is very simple. Trump wants to empower the people. Harris, Biden, Clinton, all that crowd wants to empower the government. That's right. The difference between the two. The evidence is overwhelming. It's just like the difference between Paul LePage and Janet Mills. Paul LePage wanted to empower the people. Janet Mills has clearly empowered the government.
Right. But it's really interesting because now they're interviewing potential voters, especially black voters. And I think their eyes have been opened. It's like, boy, you know, why should we vote for you? Just because we're black doesn't mean we need to vote for you. We look at what you're doing and what Trump did. Our lives are better off under Donald Trump. Everyone's life was better off under Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Whether you're
no matter what color you are. I don't understand, and maybe you can explain it to me, Ray, unless I've missed a chapter, but there used to be a provision where if a presidential candidate was on a show, they had to grant equal time to the opposition candidate. And I've not seen nor heard that Donald Trump is going to be on Howard Stern or The View or all these other different things, Late Night with Colbert, where they're fawning over her, but they're not letting him in or however that's going. And I'm not sure. Maybe he just simply rescinded and chose not to, and that was allowable. But, I mean, did that...
No, there's no equal time provision anymore. I mean, like here at this studio, you know, I would gladly have any of these people come in. I'd love to sit here and discuss with them the issues that I care about, that I believe most people care about. But, you know, they won't come here. The invitation, I quit inviting Angus. I quit inviting Shelley because they didn't even have the decency to respond and say no. They just didn't respond at all. But there's no equal time provision. If there was, then talk radio couldn't exist, because talk radio is about common sense and conservative traditional American values. And if we had to provide equal time, nobody would listen.
Right.
Nobody likes Hate America Radio. Nobody likes it. That's why Air America failed. Nobody likes Hate America Radio. This show and every show like mine around the country is about talking about the things that made America great. And even if we fail, at least aspiring to the right ideas. These people on the other side, they don't aspire to the right ideas. It's what they can lie to you about to get you to believe. You know, I don't believe Donald Trump's a saint. I've never said it once. I'm not voting for the Pope. I'm certainly not voting for my Lord and Savior. I know who he is. I made that decision a long time ago. Donald Trump was a very good policy president. America was stronger. The world was safer under Donald John Trump. That's just a fact.
Right. And you look at the data. It's hard to argue that it wasn't if you look at all the data that's out there. The inflation rate, the price of gas, the price of groceries. Again, what the amount of money being spent on foreign wars. I don't know how it's close, except for the fact that I don't think anyone is voting for Kamala Harris. If they're voting for Harris, they're voting against Trump.
The only people voting for Harris are the people that have their hand out. It's like they forgave more student loans yesterday. United States Supreme Court. You know, we keep hearing about fascism here. Well, dictators, what they do is they ignore the court. Donald Trump never once ignored the court, not once. Right. When he was president of the United States of America. If he didn't like the outcome, he would appeal the decision. Ultimately, when it went to the Supreme Court, if they sided with him, great. If they didn't, he honored it. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have mocked the United States Supreme Court. They have said all kinds of awful things about a co-equal branch of government. And now when they've told him he cannot forgive student loan debt, he's still doing it and he's mocking them. It's no different than Barack Obama. They don't like America. They don't like how America's set up. They think the Constitution is an antiquated document written by old, fat, rich, white slave owners and that we shouldn't pay attention to it today. They don't like this country. They don't like people who are successful, because people who are smart and successful are an existential threat to their power, and they don't want that.
Right. And they are actually openly talking about Kerry did this.
Tim Walz did. Kamala Harris did.
When they're openly saying that our biggest problem is the First Amendment, I mean, wow.
Well, you think about it. Supreme Court Justice, and I like her. She's smart. I will say this. She asked good questions. But she did say, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the First Amendment is getting away the government censoring information. John Kerry spent quite a bit of time talking about how we have to win big and then stop this because we have to stop this information.
And Hillary.
Harris.
And Hillary.
Harris. Waltz. Waltz said misinformation is not allowable under the First Amendment. That's a dumb, damnable lie. Of course it is. Should we celebrate misinformation? Of course not. But this is called free speech in a free country, something that dude should really love because of who he is and what he's gotten away with, of which I'm well aware of and y'all are about to be. This guy is a bad dude. He wants to suppress information. Harris has said we have to stop misinformation and hate speech. According to the United States Constitution and an interpretation by the United States Supreme Court, that is not true. And Hillary said, if we don't stop this and limit free speech, we can't control things.
Right.
What
right.
kind of people would you put in place that would control your ability to speak your mind in a free country?
Right. And you hit the nail on the head when, during the debate with J.D. Vance, Walt said, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. It's like, well, but that's not the same as the government defining what people can say and what people can't.
Yes.
Because misinformation is basically something the government doesn't like. And well, can you tell the founding fathers, like, well, if the government says you can't say that, you shouldn't say that. Imagine what Sam Adams or Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin or Patrick Henry would have said to that.
Well, guess what they did to that?
Right.
They kicked their backsides and said, you're out of here. We're free people by the grace of God Almighty, and we will form a nation that protects our freedom.
Right.
And yeah, there was the museum. It was a paid museum. It was not part of the Smithsonian down in Washington, D.C. for a number of years, and it was quite a remarkable museum. I liked it quite a bit. It had a lot of old, like the beginning of time, basically, with newspapers and headlines and TV and the evolution of it. And I really enjoyed it up until I got to the gift shop, and the gift shop had these really cool coffee mugs and stuff, as they often do, and it said, freedom of speech does not, the First Amendment does not afford you the right to say something stupid. And
wow.
I was like, that's exactly what
well, 95% exactly of the people running for office couldn't run then.
Right.
Right, exactly. You
but
know,
but here's the other piece of it. Here's the other piece of it. And I was thinking about this the other day, about this misinformation stuff. All of the TV news, all, including Fox, would be out of business if misinformation was illegal.
Right. Absolutely right. Because who defines it? Who defines misinformation?
Who's in power? That's who defines it. That's the problem here. That's the reason why we have the First Amendment. That's why the First Amendment was so critical to a man like George Mason, one of the great founders of the country. Because if you don't have the right to free speech, where you address your grievances against your government at all places and at all times without fear of reprisal, whomever is in power will determine what you can say. That is not freedom.
Right. And now you have this other term called malinformation, that they readily admit is true, but it disrupts the government narrative. And it's like, come on, people. I mean,
see, if we actually had a school system that taught anything worth learning, we would know about the Alien and Sedition Acts. There were four laws back in the term of John Adams, the second president of the United States of America. And that's what they were directed at, that people that spoke out against the government. And again, I know I've said this forever, but people can look it up. A Vermont congressman, member of Congress at the time, was jailed under the Alien and Sedition Acts because it was a suppression of you saying what you wanted to say about your government. Can you imagine a country that does that? And who the hell would want to live in it?
Right. Well,
and look how far we've come from the ACLU, who's defending the right of Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois, a predominantly Jewish community, and it was in fact a Jewish lawyer who defended the ACLU in that, and he hated every second of it, but he felt it was more important that their rights were not impinged upon, and now they're so far from that value.
Right. And why was that? Because he knew what the suppression of speech did to his people in Nazi Germany.
Right.
He knew
That's
that
right.
when you shut down the ability of people to peaceably assemble, something we don't do here anymore, and to speak out, that when you shut that off, things like the Holocaust happen.
Right. Just like John Adams defended the British soldiers at the Boston Massacre.
He did.
He lost a lot of popularity because of that, but he recognized that everyone had a right
to a defense. And he won those
cases. And then you go to John Quincy Adams, who basically defended the enslaved people, the Amistad, who revolted and
right.
took the ship.
Yeah. Well, and think about him later on.
Popular.
Post-presidency, John Quincy Adams went back to the United States House of Representatives for 17 years, and they had a gag rule on arguing against slavery. And John Quincy Adams fought it. They called him Old Man Eloquent. And finally, the gag rule in the Congress was removed over the issue of slavery, which led to the Compromise of 1850 and all this. John Quincy Adams died before that happened, but because they started the conversation again. You know, again, people that want to discourage or stop free speech are scoundrels.
Right.
Because free speech is what makes a free people.
Right. Absolutely correct.
She said the other day that this is an existential threat to the democracy. No, free speech is the foundation of a democratic society.
Absolutely right.
It is the foundation of it. Anybody that doesn't understand that should be locked up.
Right.
It goes back to your point of the popular vote. It's ultimately going to be mob rule. And
yeah, of course.
If that happens, the wheels are off the cart for good.
And that's what these people want, which is why it's so important. If you're a Trump supporter, you get out and vote. You get your spouse to vote. You get your children if they're eligible to vote. You get your aunt, nanny's, grandma's dog to vote if the dog is a citizen. You make sure they vote. We not only need to win the Electoral College, we need to win the popular vote so that our rights and freedoms are protected by the government, as is their proper role, not suppressed. These people want to suppress you. You got a taste of it during COVID. If that didn't wake your ass up, I don't know what will. Bobby, we gotta go.
Bye, Bob.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is gonna be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job, I love what I do, and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are fantastic, and they wanna be part of something bigger.
My future looks great at Moody's. The sky's the limit here.
If you're looking for a job and a great opportunity in a career, we're hiring at Moody's.
Hello, this is Joshua Morris, State Representative from Turner. I'm running for re-election this year for the towns of Turner, Leeds, and Wayne. One of the reasons I am running is because the state budget is projected to have a $1 billion shortfall in the next biennium. This is due to overspending from Maine Democrats in the legislature. I would appreciate your vote to send me back to Augusta, as well as my Republican colleagues that are running in your districts. This ad paid for and authorized by Josh Morris for State Representative, Josh Morris Treasurer.
Hello, fellow Mainers. I am Ron Russell, and I am running to be your representative for the United States Congress in Maine's 1st Congressional District. I spent 30 years in the United States Army as an Airborne Ranger, Green Beret, and I retired in 2006 as a colonel. After retirement, I started a small business with three friends, and we grew it into a large business over 15 years. I believe the job of a member of Congress is to be a representative of the people, listening to your concerns, informing you of what is happening in Washington, D.C., and meeting with you on a regular basis so that I can best understand your interests and concerns. My opponent rarely meets with her constituents, and her voting record does not represent the people of CD1. I want to be your representative in Washington to defend your freedoms. Go to RonRussellForCongress.com to find out more. That's RonRussellForCongress.com.